things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love?
It just ain't the same. Always in change. New days are strange. Is the world the same? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach, and what you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Well, there's our question. What a question. My name's Tom. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming this evening. And I wonder what you make of that question. We watched basically the whole video because I wanted us to sit for just 3.5 minutes in the reality of those questions. Where is the love? You might not believe it, but that song is 21 years old. That makes me feel old. But it could have been written yesterday, couldn't it? As we look around the world today, how accurate is it for us to ask these kind of questions? I'm not going to rap it for you like they did. I'm grateful for them doing that bit. But it's just right, isn't it? It feels right to be asking those questions as you look at the news, as we look around our world. What has happened to the values of humanity? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. It's really hard to read it without trying to go into a rap. But then it's really real to actually see, as we look around the world or on our own life, that is the reason that sometimes we feel down. That is the reason why sometimes we feel under. I wonder what's making you ask those questions. Which bit of the world makes you ask those questions at the moment? Is it as you look at the news and see the wars going on, or the famines, the suffering and the death that feels so needless, where is that? Where is the love? Maybe it's people doing whatever they can to get on top. Or maybe it's those leaders that we should be able to trust running unfair and unjust systems that constantly are against the poor and the helpless. Where is the love? Or maybe for you it's more personal. Maybe you come this evening and that question for you comes out of your own bitter experience. Maybe you're hurting because you've been hurt by someone. Or a relationship has broken down, or life has just left scars that don't seem to heal. However this question comes up for us this evening, we know that as we look around the world and in our own lives, it's right and fair to ask, where is the love, isn't it? Now, I don't know if you spotted it, but there was a bit in that song that repeated a request for help up to the heavens. Did you catch it? Father, 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 help us. We need some guidance from above. We're questioning over and over again, where is the love? So often the only place people can look is up. You get the hashtags, pray for so-and-so, or pray for a certain place, don't we, on social media when something happens. And when people are in need, whatever they believe, often they turn to prayer. And the Black Eyed Peas are the same. Father, help us. We need some guidance from above. Well, I wonder, what do you think God does with a shout like that? When he hears that, is God listening? Does God care? Is he some kind of absent father? He just set the world in motion and he's not interested. Can he be interested in a world so broken, so loveless? What's your picture of God? What's your image of God as we ask that question? Well, tonight, we're briefly going to see what the Bible tells us God's answer is to that question. Because the good news is that God does see the mess of the world. He's not an absent father who's totally separate from the life of the people he's made. He sees the mess. And even better, he has already answered that cry for guidance. He has sent help. So to help show you that, let me read you a story from the Bible. This is a story about Jesus and something Jesus does. Because as Abby's already shared with us, for us as Christians, Jesus is kind of a big deal. He is God's answer to this question. So, grab your Bibles. There are Bibles on the seats or on the floor around you. And we'll see how God has answered our cry for help through Jesus. Open up to page 1078. 1078. And there we find the book of John. We're halfway through chapter 11. And I'm going to read from verse 17. That's the little 17, top left of the page. And before I read it, let me set the scene for you, because we're coming in halfway through something that was going on. So just before, a few days before, Jesus found out that his friend was ill, his friend Lazarus. He was seriously ill. And two sisters, who were also close friends of Jesus, Mary and Martha, sent a message to Jesus. Lazarus is ill. They're hoping that he'll come and heal him. Because by this point, Jesus has got a bit of a reputation for being a healer. He's done all kinds of miracles. He's healed all kinds of people. So Mary and Martha send this message, assuming Jesus will drop everything and come to Lazarus, one of his best friends, and heal him. But when he gets the message, his response isn't what everyone expects. He just stays where he is. He says, "We're not going to go yet." And for a couple of days, they stay there. And then eventually, he gets up and they go. Takes his disciples with him. And they go to where Lazarus is. And on the way, he tells those traveling with him, his disciples, he says, "Lazarus is dead. But we're going to go anyway." Let's hear what happens next. From verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Let's just pause there. Now remember, as we look at this story of Jesus, we're looking for how God is responding to our cry for help in this broken world. So I want you to see two big things in Jesus here. The first is that God really does care. God cares deeply about the people he's made. He cares deeply about you, and he cares deeply about me. God loves you. He loves us. And he cares deeply about the mess in this world. How do we know that? We know that from Jesus here. We see his response, don't we? Did you feel that? When Jesus saw his friends weeping, when he arrives in that village and sees everybody broken by the death of Lazarus, grieving and in pain, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, apparently, the word in the original language that this was written is a really strong word, stronger than the English shows us. So we need to put the emphasis on that deeply. He was deeply moved and troubled. Apparently, it could be translated almost deeply angry. From his inside, he was deeply moved and angry at this death and the grief this death was causing to those around him. He sees the impact of the death and he's moved. A deep burning emotion. God isn't disconnected from the pain and the suffering we feel. Jesus here feels it deeply. He's troubled by it. Deep inside him, he's seething against the pain and suffering and death. And then they take him to the grave. And he stands next to the grave, which for them would have been a big tomb cut out of rock with a huge stone in front. And they're stood at the graveside. And as Jesus stands there, we get the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus is God. He was there in the beginning when the world was created. The God who created the universe, all things, here stands at the graveside of his friend and weeps. The God we cry out to in our pain weeps. at the graveside of his friend. Now, he knew this was going to happen. Remember, on the way, as they were traveling, he said, Lazarus is dead. So surely he's had time to grieve. He knew this was going to happen, but as he gets there, he's deeply moved. He's troubled. He's grieving. He weeps. Notice he doesn't immediately bring answers. He doesn't solve everything straight away. Jesus weeps. A painful, personal emotion. That response when you've got no words left. Jesus wept. Now, this Jesus we see here sums up perfectly the picture the whole Bible paints of who God is. Over and over again, the Bible says God is compassionate. God is kind. God is loving. And the Bible is also really clear that because God is compassionate and kind and caring, because he is loving, he hates the way people treat each other. He hates suffering. He hates pain. He's grieved by death. And so, as we look at Jesus here, we see God perfectly. Look how he loved him, the Jews said. And what does that mean for us? It means, firstly, that it's okay to feel pain. It's okay to weep. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to admit when we struggle to anxiety and fear and sadness from life's battles and scars. If it's okay for Jesus, the God who created the universe, to weep at a graveside, then it's okay for us to grieve, isn't it? It's got to be. And if you look at the world around you and you're deeply moved by what you see, then that's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Because that's how God feels. That's what we see here. Actually, those feelings only make sense if God feels them. Because if God wasn't there, and this was just a survival of the fittest world, then our grief wouldn't make any sense. We wouldn't be affected by pain, or we shouldn't be affected by pain. But we are. Our feelings make sense because God himself cares. These things matter. The lovelessness in our world matters. We can weep over them. And that brings us back to the cry we started with. Father, Father, help us. We need some guidance from above. We shout that because we know we can do nothing ourselves. I'm so aware that I cannot do anything about this world's problems on my own. You might be different to me. We might have some superheroes in our midst. But I can do nothing on my own. And I think that's why we fear the pain and the suffering so much, don't we? It's why we're so confused about it, because we feel helpless. And it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? As Abby shared with us, we're not just passive onlookers, perfect onlookers to a world of brokenness, are we? We know that that disease that's affected the world has got to us too. That pain and hate and selfishness runs through us in different ways, through our relationships and our lives in different ways. That's what the Bible calls sin. And it can be hard to admit, but we know that in our real moments, that's there in us too. But you know, that's okay, because God has sent help. And because God cares, there is hope. And God cared enough to come. He cared enough to do something about it. There is hope. That's the second thing I want us to see. God cares, and there is hope. Now, I remember a few years ago sitting on the sofa with one of my boys and watching Toy Story 3. Hands up if you've seen Toy Story 3. If you haven't, you're missing out. Okay. Toy Story, if you haven't seen it, is a film, a franchise, there's lots of films. But it's a film about a group of toys. By the time you get to the third film, they've been thrown out of their original owner's home and given to a nursery. And they get played with by all these children. And in that nursery, the big boss of the nursery is Lotso, this pink fluffy teddy bear. And he's a piece of work. He's evil. He uses his power to mistreat the other toys. And so Woody and all his friends, who are the stars of Toy Story 3, get sent into the little one's room and get covered in paint and chewed and bitten and eaten. But he uses his power to hurt and manipulate all the other toys. And the toys in the film end up in a rubbish dump and get close to being incinerated. And it's all very dark and emotional and scary. And I remember being sat on the sofa watching that film with one of my boys, and he turned to me, looking terrified, and said, "Daddy, can we skip this bit?" Now, what would you do in that situation? The nice thing to do, maybe, would have been to, "Yeah, we can skip this bit. Let's fast forward to the nice bit at the end. Skip to the good bit." Do I know what I said? I can't leave you without telling you now, can I? I put my arm around him, I put him close, and I said, "We don't need to be scared. We know how it ends. We've seen this film before. We know that Lotso gets taken by the bin man and spends the rest of his life on the front of a rubbish truck chewing flies. We don't need to be scared. We know how it ends." Did you hear what Jesus said to his friend Martha as I was reading? "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Just read that again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus says, "You don't need to be scared. I know how this ends." And he claims to be the resurrection and the life. He claims to offer resurrection life to anyone who believes in him. Now, I understand, if that's new to you, how that sounds. Jesus is a man stood by a graveside claiming to be able to raise anyone who believes in him to life. If you're not a Christian this evening, that is a crazy claim to make. Even if you are a Christian, that is a crazy claim to make. How can he say that? Now, the only way he can say that, and for it to be true, if he really is God in human form. If he really is God as a man. And the only way we could know that is if he proved it to us. Well, look what happens next. Let's read what comes next. Verse 38. My Bible's got a title which gives it away. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The dead man, who's been dead for 4 days, gets up and walks out. Martha tried to stop him. "Jesus, don't you know that he smells?" In an older translation of the Bible, it says, "He stinketh." Which you would if you'd been dead and buried 4 days. But he stands up and he walks out. Jesus proves there is hope in this world of pain. Because this suffering and pain and grief and death we feel are not the end. Jesus claims to be the resurrection and the life, and then follows up on that claim by raising Lazarus from the dead. We know how it ends. New life with Jesus. And if that's not proof enough, Jesus proved once and for all that he cares and there is hope. Because at Easter, millions of Christians around the world and for thousands of years have celebrated that Jesus cared so much for us that he himself took on all the pain and hurt and grief and death that our sin causes. He cared enough to deal for it once and for all on the cross. He became that death that causes so much pain. And then he himself walked out of the tomb. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. So that those who believe him have an amazing future to look forward to. That those who believe him will live even though they die. That there is a future beyond all this pain. There is a future beyond all your pain. A glorious future. And that, just like Abby told us, that we can live now. We have new life now. We don't have to wait for that life. We have it now. Even though this world remains a broken and painful place, because he's risen and he promises we will do the same one day, we can live free of that fear that holds us. We can be rightly angry at the injustice and pain that we see in the world. So you can be angry as you watch the news and the way people are treating each other. But because Jesus has risen, we don't need to be gripped by anxiety or fear. Because this is not the end of the story. There is hope. He promised a certain future. He promises a physical world free from all this pain and suffering. A world free from tears and a world free from death. And he proves that's coming because he rose Lazarus from the dead. And then he rose from death himself. And to claim that hope as yours, it's really simple. Jesus uses the word over and over again here. He says, "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe that? So that's the question this evening. It's not, have you come and done lots of things to get ready for God? It's not, have you lived a perfect life? It's not, are you ready to sort everything out? Or have you got all the answers to the questions? Jesus says, do you believe this? All we have to do is believe. And if you say yes to that, it leads you into that life of certainty and hope. Whatever life throws at you, however loveless this world feels for you, believe Jesus. Because God cares. God loves. God hates the pain we feel. He feels those scars like you do. He hates the sin done against us. And he hates the sin that we've done against other people. But he died for those things. So that we can believe him. And claim resurrection life now and a future hope with him. We don't need to be scared because we know how it ends. I'm going to pray before we sing once more to close our time together. Lord God, we thank you so much that you don't leave us in this broken world wondering where the love is. Thank you that you answer the cry for guidance and the cry for help with Jesus. Thank you for such a clear answer. Thank you for such a complete answer. Thank you for such a perfect answer. to our cry for help. Lord, we know we need you. Help us to believe, Jesus. And thank you that when we can say yes to that question, do we believe Jesus? Yes, we do. You bring us into resurrection life now and for eternity. And for anybody this evening who's not yet answered yes to that, Lord, help them to see the hope there is in Jesus. Amen.